I check it once, then I check it twice. Oh, look what you made me do. Look what you made me do. What you just made me do, look what you just made me. Ooh. We're leading into the hour with Taylor Swift's edgy single, Look What You Made Me Do. Yesterday, MTV unveiled the nominations for the EMAs, the MTV Europe Music Awards. Give a nod to Taylor Swift with 6 nominations, including Best Video and Best Artist. It's The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We're taking stock of female pop artists this hour. And why don't we see more of them climbing the charts? Gender parity in pop culture, do we want it? Do we know it's missing? Spencer Kornhaber is a staff writer at The Atlantic covering pop culture and music. He recently wrote a piece for The Atlantic. It's titled, For Women Seeking Pop Hits in 2017, It's a Climb. Spencer, welcome to the show.
Good morning.
So that first song we just heard, Look What You Made Me Do by Taylor Swift, in your piece for The Atlantic, you point out that it was the first song featuring a female singer to top the charts since November 19th, 2016, first song released by a female artist to do so since August 27th, 2016, and the number one entirely unaccompanied by a male artist since January of 2016. How surprising was this to you?
It's not surprising that Taylor Swift ended up with the number one song on the charts. She's possibly our biggest pop star right now, and she's been gone for 3 years. So her comeback single was kind of destined to end up at number one. But the more surprising thing is this kind of drought that you mentioned that preceded her taking number one, hit after hit by male artists in the number one spot and in much of the rest of the pop chart in kind of an unprecedented historical streak.
Yeah, well, put this in a historical perspective for us. How often do these droughts happen? When was the last time something like this happened when we just didn't see much from female musicians in the pop arena?
Yeah, well, it's an interesting question because, you know, female musicians are always in the spotlight. You know, when you think about pop music, you think about Madonna's, Britney Spears, Whitney Houston's, stars like that. And so they take up a lot of, mind share and visibility. But historically, there have been stretches where there are droughts. There was one in the mid-2000s. But there have been some in the 70s and 80s of kind of 30-week stretches. But to get something as long as the 87 weeks that went between Adele's Hello, which was the last unaccompanied by a male number one song, and Taylor Swift's latest single, you have to go back to the very beginning of the charts from what I understand let me see, 1958, which is when the Hot 100 debuted. Yes, yeah. It was 97 weeks before a woman broke into the number one spot on the charts then. But, you know, we haven't had a similar stretch since this year, from my understanding.
So, Spencer, why does this matter? Some people might say, yeah, it's just pop music. Does this matter? How do you respond to that?
It's a good question of what it really means and whether it's a statistical fluke or a sign of some shifting cultural attitude with regards to gender. And the question of how much popular culture and popular music matters to society is always one that you can argue about. You know, I write about pop culture for a living, and I tend to think that what we're listening to in the charts, what everyone is talking about in a given moment, what everyone's listening to, it usually does say something about what's going on in the culture, but it's obviously a really difficult thing to untangle what that can be. You know, on a more practical level, female musicians want to be heard just as much as male musicians do, and there are lots of arenas for them to be heard. But you hear story after story of sexism in the music industry, and this may be in some part a result of that as well.
We're talking about pop music genre and the lack of female voices and female pop musicians rising on the Billboard charts, the Billboard Top 10 status. And Spencer Kornhaber has been writing about this for The Atlantic, where he covers pop culture and music. You can join in the conversation at 800-642-1234. What might are women's voices being drowned out in popular music? Do you think so? If so, what do you see as the implications or the consequences? And what might it take to turn things around? Are you a female musician? Do you think about this? 800-642-1234. You can post your thoughts on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Tweet us at WPR Mornings. Spencer, you know, let's look a little bit, delve into this further here. What's been the impact of streaming services?
Yeah, it's a great question. In January of this year, it was the first time that I believe the Nielsen report said that streaming had become the most popular way to consume music in the United States, surpassing digital downloads and surpassing record sales. So it is now the way that we listen to music, and will become that way even more so in the future. And simultaneously, the rankings of genres that are popular have shifted, and with R&B and hip hop overtaking rock as the most popular genre to listen to in America. There are certain genres that just do better on streaming, and hip hop, R&B, electronic dance music are some of them. It's hard to separate out whether that's because of something about streaming itself or simply because streaming is more popular among young people, and young people have, you know, obviously different tastes than their parents.
Are these genres less friendly to women?
I mean, historically, yes. You know, in rap music, you can kind of count the number of female superstars who have emerged on maybe one or two hands in the history of that genre. And in electronic dance music, that's a very producer-driven genre where, you know, DJs become famous. And in music production, you can similarly count a very small number of really famous female music producers. And that's just the way that these arenas have been for a variety of reasons. And so now that they are at the very center of what we think of as popular music, I think that is having an effect on the stars that are coming out of it.
There's been a bit of an anomaly with the rise of hip hop star Cardi B, and I want to take a listen to her here just a moment. Let's take a listen. Gonna do what or who? Let's find out and see. Cardi B, you know where I'm at, you know where I be. You in the club, just to party. I'm there, I get paid a fee. I be in and out them banks so much. So there she is, Cardi B, with a song Bodak Yellow. What about Cardi B?
Yeah, she's you know, kind of an amazing popular music story that comes along, the sort of story that comes along every so often where someone who's pretty unknown just ends up with a world-beating hit that is organically popular.
She was a dancer.
Yeah, she was an exotic dancer, and that's kind of what the song is about. She's saying she doesn't dance anymore. She, you know, makes money now that she doesn't have to. She's from the Bronx. She's really a funny, fascinating kind of social media presence, and she's on the TV show Love and Hip Hop. This song, you know, it came out a while ago, and it's just kind of been slowly rising up the charts. And so there was a funny moment when Taylor Swift broke this, you know, drought of all male artists on the top of the charts, and then came up right behind her was this Cardi B song that people really love, and it did end up overtaking Taylor. So now we have two back to back female number ones, and so it's kind of a funny moment to be talking about this drought when it is sort of very splashily just ended in the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, there's suddenly been just a blip perhaps on the screen or a heartbeat. And, you know, I was looking at her song, Cardi B's song, yesterday on YouTube, and phenomenal to see more than 200 million people had done the same thing I was in looking at her video on YouTube.
Yeah, I mean, you know, every so often there's just, you know, I would never call her a one-hit wonder. It's just very early in her career, and she's probably going to have an awesome career. But, you know, there are just these singles that just kind of come out of nowhere and conquer the world. You know, she is an example of, you know, hip-hop's popularity, the fact that, you know, this just straight-up swaggering rap song is the number one song in the country, and that's it's in a year when we've had a number of hip-hop songs take the number one spot. And so she, you know, is a woman who's found a way to be successful in that genre, and you know, there's precedent for her, but she may be leading to more people coming behind her, falling in her mold.
We're going to take a moment here and listen to a bit more music as we go out to break here. This is Shania Twain, Life's About to Get Good.
Life's about pain. It's all about forgiving and the will to walk away. I'm ready to be loved.
And we're looking for your thoughts on female pop artists. 800-642-1234. Shania Twain doesn't have any songs on the Billboard Hot 100 right now, but that could change. We'll be back after this news break.
The longer my tears fell, the wider the river.
Talking crossover artists, how about Miley Cyrus straddling the country and music genres? Her song Younger Now from the album by the same name. Some really positive feedback this week from Miley Cyrus when she performed her country breakup ballad Week Without You on The Tonight Show Tuesday night. Are other genres like country more hospitable to women musicians? Are there other genres, perhaps rap, more inhospitable to female acts? We're trying to understand what factors into this gap in pop music for female chart-topping songs. Spencer Kornhaber stays with us. He's a staff writer at The Atlantic covering pop culture and music. Recently wrote about the lack of female voices in pop. You can join this conversation. 800-642-1234. Is there a female pop artist you'd like to put on our radar? 800-642-1234. Post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Now, we just heard Miley there. We also heard Shania Twain earlier, Spencer. What about these females who cross over into pop? How are they doing? How are they faring?
Yeah, Miley and Shania present sort of an interesting contrast. Both do have, you know, very strong country backgrounds. Miley's dad was Billy Ray Cyrus, who's sort of a country star from the early 90s. But Miley became famous more in the pop world. You know, she was a Disney Channel star, and then she very, you know, kind of rose following in the footsteps of maybe a Lady Gaga type. It kind of culminated in 2013 at the VMAs, where she drew some controversy for twerking kind of just wearing crazy outfits and having these huge pop singles. Since then, she's sort of, as of this year, reinvented, reset her sound, and has gone back to this country, rootsy, down-the-middle sound that, you know, you might theoretically would say is a pretty safe bet for someone looking to appease a wide swath of America and have pop success. But we've seen a couple cases of pop stars reinventing like her to be more country rock-ish and not getting a ton of traction with regards to the pop charts.
So you can't really live in both worlds at the same time?
I mean, right now it does not seem like there is a huge taste for songs like the ones Miley's putting out in the pop world. Like I said, you know, it's more driven by electronic sounds, a different attitude, a different way of singing than what she's doing. And so there's something kind of admirable about her just following her own path and doing what she wants to do, I think genuinely out of some artistic instinct rather than chasing hits.
Taking a call now at 800-642-1234. Paul in Monroe. Go ahead, Paul.
Hi. Yeah. I was calling because it sort of seems to me that this whole conversation here is kind of sexist. If you think about it as a kind of make it a make a parallel between it and racism. Martin Luther King Jr. summed it up really well when he said, "I don't want my children judged by the color of their skin. I want them judged by what they do." It's your merit that makes you good or bad, and I think it's the same. It's the merit of what you do that makes you good or bad, and I think it's the same with music. If you write good music, you should be popular. If you write bad music, you shouldn't be popular. It has nothing to do with who you were born as. It just has to do with what you do. So I'll take my answer off the air then.
Yeah, thanks, Paul. And Spencer, your response.
I mean, the idea that that what is popular is always good, I think that if you think about that for 1 second, it breaks down. And I think it is a documented fact in so many ways that similar effort by women or minorities does not always achieve the same outcomes in our society. So that's obviously a huge question that America is arguing over in this moment. And so that's a whole can of worms. But just, you know, I didn't write this article too much to say this was necessarily a good thing or bad thing, though, you know, I'm a fan of a lot of female stars, and I sometimes wish they had they got their due more. But rather to point out this disparity and how it is sort of historically weird and points to, I mean, to take the caller's argument, does that mean that women have all of a sudden, like, forgotten how to write songs or something? I mean, that doesn't seem very plausible.
And let's take another call now. Barbara in Janesville. Go ahead, Barbara.
Good morning. I was calling for two comments. One, I wanted to know why we don't hear more from the artist Pink. I know that she writes some of her own music. I also know that she's a performance artist. And to me, that I don't listen to that much popular music, but to me, that should be something that would help her career. And also, what part does a manager play? I mean, do you have to be married to Jay-Z to get your music heard?
Spencer.
Well, with regards to Pink, you're in luck. She has a new album coming out in the next couple of weeks. And she just received the Lifetime Achievement Award at the VMAs. And if you're a fan of hers, you should pull that up. It is like 12-minute Pink medley of her just delivering her awesome vocals and amazing choreography. So if you're a Pink fan, it's about to be Pink season. And so that it will be an interesting test case of whether she can, break with the recent trends and land some huge hits. She has a pretty big hit right now. But, you know, she hasn't taken that number one spot or anything quite close to it. And then the other question was about managers.
Managers.
I mean, you know, I wouldn't say that Beyonce's success is because she is married to Jay-Z at all. I mean, at this point, she is landing more hits than he is. Anyone can tell you that the music industry is largely run by men. There are only, I believe, 5% of music producers, making mainstream songs are women. So we've seen a lot of cases where gender really matters in the studio. You know, the pop star Kesha, she saw her career kind of hit the skids for 3 or 4 years because she called out what she said was abusive treatment by her producer and manager, Dr. Luke, and that led to a whole public saga that resulted in her this year coming back with an album that was sort of pared back her sound and was very much about this trauma she'd went through, and ended up being released on the label founded by the man she'd accused because she wasn't able to get out of her contract. So stuff like that really does have an effect on these careers. But it's often hard to say from the outside looking in.
Well, Barbara, great questions. Thanks for joining us. Rachel in Madison called. She says she notices women having to show strength and force to find success on the charts. And she uses Taylor Swift's song about revenge and blame. Rachel says it seems the women must compete with men's masculine reputations.
That's a really interesting thought. I think there's something to that, or at least in the recent years, there's been this kind of vogue for these kind of empowered, defiant, aggressive female voices, or maybe that's kind of what was working for a while. And Taylor Swift certainly was able to capitalize on that. And then in recent times, we've sort of seen this shift to a quieter, more intimate sound across the pop charts, more lovelorn, and men have actually been doing really well with that. And the female singers who have done well with that are often singing on a man's song. And that's just a very recent sort of trend. It may just be that needs to shake out more.
Spencer Kornhaber stays with us. He's a staff writer at The Atlantic. He's covering pop culture and music, and his recent piece is called For Women Seeking Pop Hits in 2017, It's a Climb. You can join in the conversation, 800-642-1234. Do you notice that fewer women are rising to the top in the pop music genre? Does that matter to you? Do you seek out women musicians in the pop genre? Are there some that have been real game changers to you? Maybe it was Beyonce, maybe Katy Perry. Join in, 800-642-1234. You can post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Along that line of Beyonce, she's seemed to be, Spencer, relatively quiet on the music front in 2017. Her 2016 album, Lemonade, seemed like a real game changer. Do you think Beyonce sets a tone for what's successful in pop these days, or is it more complicated than that?
Well, Beyonce is certainly writing her own rule book in many ways, and is someone that the whole industry is looking to, but it had the kind of success that is extremely hard to replicate. She came from, she was sort of a known quantity coming from a popular girl group in the early 2000s, then became a popular solo star with just these unbelievably popular, catchy hits that could play in the dance floor, but it could also play in your car, with a really strong persona behind them. And she kind of conquered the pop hits game around 2008 with the success of the song Single Ladies. It's like, where do you go from there? And she's found very creative ways to answer that question, with kind of a string of more personal, more boundary pushing, less radio oriented albums that still sell a lot of copies, still generate a ton of conversation, and still keep her kind of at the forefront of the public's mind. And she's rewritten the playbook for how to release albums a few times, with that infamous surprise release in December of 2013, that no one saw coming. And then, you know, now everyone does that. And then, like you mentioned, Lemonade last year, arriving as a 1-hour film on HBO that kind of no one knew what it would be until, everyone tuned in on a Saturday night. So she's very creative, has been very smart about taking the fact that the public cares about her and her personal life and her marriage and her kids, and using that as part of her work while also kind of controlling how much the public gets to learn about what's really going on. Mm. Like you said, she has been quiet this year. I mean, this is a pretty typical thing for pop stars. They'll release their album. There'll be like a year where that pop star is everywhere with their music and their image, and then they go away for a year or two, and then they let their demand build up for them again, and they come back, and you know they try to be as big as they ever were, and that's always a gamble whether they can pull it off. But she has a really good track record on that, and so she's a little bit in out of cycle right now. She gave birth to twins earlier this year, so that obviously takes up a lot of time. But I think
yes, it does.
It won't be too much longer before she comes back and with something to amaze us.
Well, I want to turn the conversation to another artist, Demi Lovato, and Pitchfork calls her the star with the most obvious musical asset, an absolute canon of a voice. And let's hear a little bit of this song, Sorry Not Sorry. Spencer, that's catchy. I could listen to that.
Mm-hmm. Well, it is one of the few songs that is breaking this trend that we're talking about, where that song is number 10 on the Billboard Hot 100. It's the only other song in the top 10 by a woman other than the Taylor Swift song and the Cardi B song. So, she's bringing it.
And she has some roots in Disney. Was she used to sing in the Disney?
Yeah, I mean, the child actor.
I don't even know how you classify it in the Disney realm.
The Disney industrial complex.
There we go.
Yeah.
Disney machine.
Right, yeah. There are a few stars like her that came up, coming up through child acting is actually a pretty common way to become a pop star these days. And Miley Cyrus is another person who went much the same route. And so was Ariana Grande, Selena Gomez, and Demi Lovato, all these stars that were first famous for being kids, entertaining other kids. And those kids get to know these stars by watching them every day on TV. And then eventually, as they kind of transition to late teens, early adulthood, they enter the more age-appropriate form of entertaining, which is pop stardom. If they have any sort of musical talent, which Demi Lovato does. And so she's had a pretty strong, consistent career using that voice. She kind of bucks some trends in that she is not really one of these quiet, intimate singers who sounds like she's trying to imitate Rihanna or Lana Del Rey all the time. She still like belts like as if she's on American Idol. So the challenge for her producers is to find a way to make that work in this environment that isn't super, doesn't seem to be hungering for that voice very much. And they've done a pretty good job with this new album, which does have a lot of R&B and hip hop influence, but still lets her kind of wail when she wants to. So yeah, if you're interested in her, yeah.
It seems that you have to balance the talent of an artist with what is on trend at that very moment and then have this type of synergy to make it all come together.
That's absolutely right. And, there's a good degree of luck in there. There's a good degree of guessing what the public might want. And there's a good degree of like you said, balancing, these are artists in many cases. I mean, they all are artists. Some art care more about their own personal expression than making money, and some are more happy to just lend their talents to this greater pop music making machine. But sometimes you find that the artists who are trying to express themselves more end up hitting on something that the culture wants in that moment.
Let's take another call now at 800-642-1234 regarding women, female musicians in the pop scene of music. Paul in Mazzini. Go ahead, Paul.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead. Mm-hmm.
Okay. I want you to think about, like, jazz music, like Melody Gordeaux, Diana Krall, Norah Jones, all better musicians and singers than anybody you talk to about. I mean, talent wise, voice wise, melody wise. I mean, that's where the women singers are. I can't even think of a male jazz singer.
Spencer, do you think women dominate in jazz? And is it a more friendly environment for them?
I'm not a huge jazz expert. So if that's the caller's impression as someone who listens to a lot of jazz, I'll buy it. it doesn't seem like, there are these moments where a jazzier sound comes into vogue and there can be crossovers into pop, like with Norah Jones. I don't know, maybe that moment is coming around again. Like I said, we're kind of in this mode of kind of quieter, more intimate music, and I could see someone from the jazz world finding a way to cross over given that taste.
Yeah. Thanks, Paul. Let's go to another Paul here in Madison. Go ahead, Paul, with your question.
Hi. I was curious if there was maybe a racial component happening with the new trends currently with female artists, considering the hip-hop genre is historically African-American, if it's more difficult for a white female to have get credibility in the hip-hop genre, and the society having a bias against black women, perhaps being a cause of that.
Yeah, I mean, definitely race is playing a huge role that it's always hard to untangle. With regards to like whether a woman could break through a white woman could break through in hip hop, I mean, the last female rapper to have a huge hit, number one hit before Cardi B was Iggy Azalea, a white woman, who, you know, a lot of people in the hip hop world thought kind of got an unfair leg up because she was imitating black, you know, what is thought of as black styles, black ways of speaking, but came this kind of tall blonde package and was able to jump a few rungs. That was how some people saw it. Other people, you know, she makes really catchy, popular, you know, music that is trying to be popular, and that could be also the reason for her success. So it's not impossible for a white woman to break through in hip hop, looking at her example. But yeah, I mean, you know, R&B is also like a hugely popular genre right now. And what we're seeing is a lot of white men going towards R&B and getting success with that. You see that with, you know, someone like Ed Sheeran, who's taking a lot from hip hop, but he's, you know, this white guy from the UK. You see that a lot with the One Direction solo efforts, who are scoring a lot of hits lately, and they kind of sound like these, like this kind of very light R&B sound. So there's a lot of there's a lot of interplay, and there's a lot of history of white artists jumping on sounds that have historically been non-white and getting success from that. Not talking about African American, but rather the Latino culture, or not culture, Latino world. Justin Bieber, you know, just came off this huge run with the song Despacito, which was already, you know, the biggest Spanish language hit in America in decades. And that was already a huge hit in Latin America earlier this year. And then Justin Bieber reportedly was at a club in South America, heard it, and said, "I want to be on the song." And, you know, a month later, he releases a remix, and that takes over the American listening public. So, a lot of interesting stories of kind of cross-pollination there.
Spencer Kornhaber stays with us. He's a staff writer at The Atlantic covering pop culture and music. He wrote a piece titled "For Women Seeking Pop Hits in 2017, It's a Climb." And we're taking your thoughts on this at 800-642-1234. What do you think about pop music? Are the artists, the female artists you appreciate, are they making it? Are they rising on the Billboard Top 100? Join in at 800-642-1234. You can also post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll be back in just a moment here on the Ideas Network. Talking pop music this hour, and where have all the women gone? This is Chained to the Rhythm by Katy Perry. No doubt Katy Perry has made a mark on the genre. The 32-year-old released her fifth studio album that's called Witness this year. She's on tour right now. Her previous albums in 2008 and 2010 had five hits that made it to the number one spot on the Billboard Hot 100 list. But are the days of Katy Perry waning? What do you think about pop music? Join in the discussion, 800-642-1234. Spencer Kornhaber stays with us. He's a staff writer at The Atlantic covering pop culture and music, has been writing on this topic. Spencer, so what about Katy Perry? She didn't make it in your article, but she has had a presence.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, she's this has been a really interesting year for her, though the public hasn't been as interested as, you know, she might have wanted. Yeah, so she had an unbeatable string of hits, you know, California Girls, I Kiss a Girl, all these songs that are just kind of the straight ahead, upbeat, sing along, dance along, pop music that seemed like it would never go out of fashion. And yet, lo and behold, this year she comes back with an album that, you know, by almost all standards, underperformed. You know, and it's hard to say why that was. What part of it may again be the shifting way that people consume music. Stars like her have historically made a lot of their sales on, or made a lot of their money on iTunes single sales. But that is no longer the dominant way that people consume music. They consume it through streaming, and so something about streaming may not be working as well for the kind of a big, explosive songs that she has been known for. She also changed her sound a little bit, went for this kind of clubbier, sort of like 90s throwback thing that sort of seemed on trend, but it was sort of an odd mashup between this kind of trendy sound and then her kind of vocals that were still maybe reminding people of the kind of stiffer, more bombastic style of pop hit.
Yeah, and speaking of the late 90s, when stars like Mariah Carey, Celine Dion, Whitney Houston, they were topping the charts, huge voices, belting out their performances, something we're just not seeing anymore. Is that era of pop gone forever?
I mean, these things are cyclical, and it's hard to say if it's gone forever. But, you know, with streaming's rise, we are listening. I mean, we've been listening in headphones for a while now, right, with the iPod, but it's really kind of become the way, you know, it's become bigger than it's ever been before. Just you walk around, you see everyone having their earbuds in, and that's, people are listening to the streaming playlists at work. They're listening to them, you know, in the car. They're listening to them at the gym, and, yep. You know, the kind of music that can straddle all those ways of listening that you want to have in your ear all the time is often kind of the less the kind of that doesn't quite force you to pay attention. And so, you know, a big belting high note like Mariah Carey does definitely is asking for your attention. So there may be reasons why that is not something that's particularly popular right now.
That's really interesting that you say that, because yeah, a very strong voice carrying a long note that would divert your attention from whatever you're doing.
Yeah, it's been noted that there's a certain way of singing that's become really popular in recent years. You know, some people call it the indie pop voice, some people call it the Rihanna voice, where it's like a way of singing that doesn't rely on a huge range, but it does pack a lot of sort of like interesting shadings and personality. There's a lot of like pronouncing a word as if you have an accent, or like you break the vowels in a way that someone's never heard before. And so like there's like kind of micro ways to make a line distinctive without you know, going up and down the scales.
So there's nuance, but only if you want it.
Yeah, and it's kind of led to what I think is a sort of new uniformity, where there's a lot of up and coming female singers who all just sort of sound the same and sort of sound like they're trying to sound cooler than, you know, maybe they are or something. So like a lot of the names that people might mention as up and coming pop stars, just to me, they just all blur into one because they're all singing in the same way.
Let's take another call now at 800-642-1234. Doug in Lancaster. Go ahead, Doug.
Hi there. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
We see a lot of hip-hop artists in particular. Of course, he's kind of always been a producer, but Dr. Dre, Snoop, that cross over from being a talent to being a producer. you know, a lot of that I'm sure has to do with name recognition. Why don't we see more women like Lady Gaga, Katy Perry, and Pink kind of cross over? Do you think that would be something that would help increase female talents?
Yeah, definitely there is a pipeline problem with regards to, like, female producers. You know, and this has been written about a lot over the years about just this incredible lack of women in music studios behind the boards when it comes to making really popular music. And if you read the accounts of a lot of these women, it's just, you know, it's the same pipeline problem you see in all sorts of, you know, spheres across business and the world where it's a boys' club and it's just hard to break in. And until there's just more and more, until you reach a certain critical mass, there'll be cultural barriers to doing that. Or, you know, whatever explanation you want to come up with, but it's just not happening. What is happening is you do see a lot of female songwriters, and you see some examples of people who write hits for other women and men, then eventually crossing over and becoming stars themselves.
Hmm. Where has that been the case?
Yeah, so like Sia, you know, the singer Sia, who has had a string of hits, you know, her biggest one was the song Chandelier, I believe. She writes songs for everyone you can, you know, name someone, and she's written songs for them. But she's also now made a career as a pop star, kind of as an interesting meta pop star who doesn't show her face, who likes to kind of in her public presentation talk about the artifice of pop music, which makes her a really fascinating figure. Her music videos are always worth watching because she's never the star of them. Instead, she has this really amazing choreography and child dancers a lot. So she's an example. There's another recent example, Julia Michaels, who has this song Issues, which has been a pretty big hit this year. And she's been on behind the scenes pop writing circuit for a while now, and she's trying to cross over, and it seems like that might work. You know, Kesha wrote songs for Britney Spears before she broke out as her own star. So that happens a lot, and there's more of a precedent for female songwriters than there is for female producers for whatever reason.
And while we're on this topic of songwriting, I'm wondering what you think about whether we're going to be hearing more in-your-face song styles in the vein of Taylor Swift's Look What You Made Me Do. And I want to listen again to Taylor Swift in this song.
What you made me do, look what you made me do, look what you just made me do, look what you just made me, ooh, look what you made me do, look what you made me do, look what you just made me do, look what you just made me do.
So very forward and kind of a more aggressive. Am I hearing that, Spencer?
Yeah. I mean, this is a fascinating song, I think. Taylor Swift, you know, has been a huge star for so long now. And she's been a star kind of because she made music that I thought was relatable. It was kind of about everyday romantic experiences, heartbreak, you know, trying to make your way through the world and keep your own identity. And now it seems like she's coming back with this album cycle that is responding to a lot of the publicity that's come for her over the years and some of the scandals that she's been associated with, and trying to sort of winkingly play up her villain, you know, the persona that she's made out to be as sort of like a villain or a manipulator. And so this is like a pretty interesting song. I think that Taylor Swift and her producers have also like been listening to the musical landscape, and, you know, they hear the same hip hop and electronic influence that everyone else does. And I've kind of tried to figure out how to meld that with what she does, which was historically country pop and then later synth pop. And so this song is just kind of a Frankenstein beast. and it's kind of, you know, it's
tell us what you really think.
I struggle with it because it is sort of catchy, but it's just like a crazy song. So, like I said, we're not in this moment where we are hearing a lot of like really brash, in-your-face statements from either gender, and she may buck that trend. And you know, the Cardi B song as well is also really brash and in-your-face.
Yeah.
So, you know, we may be in a moment where the pendulum is swinging back. And, you know, I wouldn't bet against Taylor Swift. And so we'll see what her new album holds for us and whether it continues in the vein of this first song.
Let's go to Jeff now in Bailey's Harbor. Hi, Jeff.
Hi. I'm wondering if your guest has anything to say about what impact he thinks Adele's vocal troubles will have on where female pop artists go with both their singing style and the kind of songs that are being written for them.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a really good question. You know, that Adele was, you know, maybe the last great belter to emerge. And that's, it is true. She's had really difficult problems with her voice, and it's unclear when she'll come back. She doesn't seem to want to tour anymore. So, you know, she was one of the most reliable hit makers, one of the biggest sellers, you know, kind of unmatched. And so if she's out of the game, like, that is a huge void. But you know, it's too soon to say whether that's the case. And yeah, I mean, it's a good question on whether singers are thinking more about their vocal health because of that. I don't know the answer to it. Like I was mentioning before, a lot of singers are singing in a way that is not as reliant on this kind of belting style and is more reliant on kind of tone and shading and sort of affectation. And so, you know, maybe that does come from trying to avoid strain, or maybe it's just, you know, chasing a certain fad of the moment.
There seems to be myriad factors to consider when these songs are crafted. There are trends. There's the artist herself. There's, I mean, just the genre to consider and what's going to happen and trying to predict it. There's just, it seems like a kind of a difficult thing to get it right.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, popularity in anything is a great lottery game. And, you know, it books are written every year about trying to crack a code, and there is no code, you know.
Well, as we start to wrap up, are there any up-and-coming female pop stars you think that we should know about? Who should be on our radar? Who do you think has the potential to break this cycle?
Yeah, you know, there's a number of people trying. I would point to the singer SZA. She spells her name S-Z-A. She's kind of hails from the R&B world. She has a really interesting voice that is sort of related to this sort of Rihanna-voiced trend, but is also distinctive and raspy, and you know it's her when she's singing. And she brings a lot of kind of storytelling into her music. She has some hits right now. She has one, I believe, in the top 40. That is a song that she did with Travis Scott. And then she's also on a Maroon 5 song, I believe, that is doing pretty well. So she's playing the pop game. Her latest album, though, is really distinctive. Really, you get a sense for her personality. I think if she ratcheted up the, you know, desire to have a world-beating hit for her next album, she could very possibly do it. So I point her out. The singer Alicia Cara has been around for a couple of years and has had a lot of success in this kind of trendy vocal mode, but she also sort of has a personality that you can latch onto. She's very socially conscious. She does bring in a little bit of jazz and blues influence. She's currently a guest vocalist on a number of songs across the charts.
Well,
that are doing well.
Spencer, so, yeah, this has been fun. Thank you so much for joining us and giving us a glimpse of the pop world.
Yeah, it's been great.
Spencer Kornhaber is a staff writer at The Atlantic covering pop culture and music. His recent piece for The Atlantic is titled "For Women Seeking Pop Hits in 2017, It's a Climb." This hour of the morning show was produced by Chris Molina and Keely Baltina. Michelle Johnson is executive producer. I'm Kate Archer-Kent, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.
Better, such a bitter pill. And yeah, I know you thought you had been